Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Nun. Today's daf has been dedicated by the Asaf family in memory of Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam. Today's daf is also being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We begin today on the Mishnah on Kufnun. Lo yiskor adam po'alim b'shabbat. A person is not allowed to hire workers on Shabbat. Again, because the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, mimeso hefsecha, that on Shabbat you're not allowed to pursue your needs. Of course, hiring workers would be a personal need. Ve'lo yomar adam nechavero yiskor lo po'alim. No, are you allowed to tell your friend to go and hire you workers? The Gemara will explain. Well, that's obvious. If it's a suit for you to do it, then of course you wouldn't be allowed to tell your friend. And as she says, that would be an issue of lifnei iver lo titen nichshol. You're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of your friend. If you can't do it, certainly you cannot cause somebody else to do it. So the Gemara will explain what the hadush of this line is. En machshichin al atchum liskor lo po'alim ulhavi perot. The law is that on Shabbat one is limited exactly how much he can travel on Shabbat by foot. The halacha says he's allowed to travel until the tum, which literally means the border. Depending on where he is, there's a certain distance how much he could travel, but from that point on he cannot. So the question is, a fellow on Shabbat wants to travel to the furthest point, meaning the tum where he's allowed to, in order that on Motzei Shabbat he'll be right at the edge of the city, in order that he can go now and hire workers first thing when Shabbat ends. So the Mishnah says that that is forbidden. You're not allowed to travel on Shabbat to the tchum in order to be ready for Motzei Shabbat to either hire workers or bring perot. For example, you have fruit in the field, and now you're going to go pick them. So it would be asur on Shabbat to walk to the tomb in order to get to your fields. So right away, Motzei Shabbat, you'd be able to pick the fruit. The Rashi explains that the logic of this halakha is that anything that's asur to do on Shabbat, it's asur to walk to the border to prepare it for Motzei Shabbat. It's forbidden to hire workers on Shabbat. It's forbidden to pick fruit on Shabbat, and therefore be forbidden to make a preparation on Shabbat, even though you're not doing anything being sur technically, just walking to the border. But since it was a sur to do that item on Shabbat, you can't walk to the border to be ready on Motzei Shabbat. Aval machshichu lishmor. However, you're allowed to go to the border in order to watch your perot. Since you're allowed to watch your fruit on Shabbat, no isur watching your fruit, so that you'll be able to walk to the border, so right away Motzei Shabbat you'd be there in order to watch your fruit, perot. Now once you went for that intention, the Mishnah says, umevi perot biyado. Once already you went for the right intention, once you're there Motzei Shabbat, you're actually allowed to pick the fruit and bring them back. Again, since you went for the right kavanah. Now, klal amar Abba Shaul. Abba Shaul made a rule. His rule is, anything that I'm allowed to say on Shabbat, or speak on Shabbat, I'm allowed to be machshich. I can go to the tchum for that purpose as well. And the Gemara will explain to us Abba Shaul's statement. Again, if I could say it, any item I could say, so that item as well, I'd be allowed to go to the border on Shabbat in order to be there for Motzei Shabbat. Comes the Gemara. Mai shena hu umai shena havero. Which means, we said in the beginning of the Mishnah, you cannot hire workers on Shabbat, nor you have to tell your friend to hire your workers. So the Gemara is saying, well, it's obvious. If you can't do it, certainly you're not allowed to tell your friend, because whatever you can't do on Shabbat, you're not allowed to tell another Jew to do for you. So what's the chidush of the Mishnah? So Amar Papa, haver nochri. The chidush is, we're talking about where your friend is a Gentile. And the Hiddush is that you can't do it, nor are you allowed to tell a goy on Shabbat to go hire workers for you. So the Gemara says, Matkif le'erav asheh, amira le'nochri shevut. Says, we know that already. We know that telling a goy to do something for you on Shabbat is asur min rabbanan. So therefore, why would I think, hey, once I know you can't do it, so obviously you're not allowed to tell a goy. So what's the chiddush in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, El Amar Vashe, Afilu Tema Havero Yisrael. Now, we're really talking about a Jewish guy that you can't tell. So what's the chiddush? Hakamash Ma'alan, Lo Yomar Adam Na Havero, Sechor Li Po'alim. Certainly a person cannot tell his friend how I'm your workers. Aval, Omer Adam Na Havero, Hanir'eh Sheta'amod Imi La'erev. Which means you're allowed to hint to your friend by saying, see to it that tonight you will see me. Now, even though both of them understand that he's hiring him and he's being hired, but you're not telling him that. You're telling him in the remez, in a hint form. You're saying, listen, see to it that you could be by me tonight. Why? Because he's going to do a job for him. So the chiddush is in the Mishnah, while you're not allowed to tell your friend, nor are you allowed to tell somebody else to tell your friend, but the implication is those cases are asur. But to tell your friend, see to it that you buy me tonight, that already would be permissible. So it's really the implication. Now she says, "Hakamashma mishnah yitera," which means from the fact that it said an extra superfluous statement in the Mishnah that was not needed, it was to make the implications, which is only when you're telling them explicitly. However, when you're alluding to it by saying, be by me tonight, that would be permissible. Umat nitin mani, and who would be the author of our Mishnah? Could it be Yoshua ben Korha? It would follow the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha. Detanya, we have a braita. Lo yomar adam nechaviru hanirei shetamod emi la'erev. Tanakama, the braita says, you cannot even allude to your friend by saying, see to it that you'll be by me by the evening, on Moshe Shabbat. Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha omer, but Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha says, omer adam nechaviru, so you see, Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha was the one that said, you can allude to your friend by saying, see to it that you are by me tonight. Tosfot just says that Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha is Rabbi Yoshua, the son of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, they used to call Korha because he was bald. And in Hebrew, the way they say bald is Kireyah. So they call it Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Hana Amar Rabbi Yohanan Halakha. Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha. Now that does indeed follow Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha that you can hint to your friend to be by you Motzei Shabbat, even though everybody knows the intention is to hire him as a worker. Amar Rabba Bar Hana Amar Rabbi Yohanan. Ma'itam Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha. What's the reason? Dichtiv mimeso hefsecha vedaber dabar. It says you don't have to pursue your needs on Shabbat vedaber dabar and speak them vedaber dabar. So he says dibur asur, hirhur mutar. Right, it's forbidden to verbalize it, but to think it, it's permissible. Here he didn't verbalize anything isur. He just said, see to it that you buy me tonight. And their thoughts was what? In order to hire him as a worker. That's only hirur. The pasuk says vedaber dabar. Only verbal discussion. However, a thought would be permissible. Rame le ravacha baravuna le rava. Ravacha barav huna brought a contradiction to rava. Miyamar Rabbi Yohanan. Dibur asur hirur mutar. Which means, you're telling me that Rabbi Yohanan is the one that said that the reason of Rabbi Yoshua ben Korha is why? Because dibur is asur, but hirhur is mutar. So the question is now, we're going to be asked, does Rabbi Yohanan really hold this principle? That hirhur is mutar, but dibur is asur? Does he make that differentiation between verbal and thought? We see in another place that he doesn't. Where? Alma, you're implying hirhur lav kedibur dame. You must say that the Yohanan must hold that thought is not like speaking. Because again, you cannot say explicitly, I want to hire you, right, on Shabbat, but you could say a coded form of it by saying, see to it that you buy me tonight, even though you mean to hire. So you must hold that thinking is not like speaking. Hirhur lav. What do you mean? We have another statement of Rabbi Yohanan that says, "Bechol makom mutar leharher." In every place it's permissible to think of the Divrei Torah, chutz bebet hamerchas umebet hakiseh. But you cannot think the Divrei Torah not in the bathhouse nor in the bathroom. Now, at this point, we're assuming, why is hirhur? Why can't you think the Divrei Torah in the bathroom or the bathhouse? Because hirhur is like dibur. Because when you're thinking it, it's like you are saying it. And just like you're not allowed to say the Torah in those places, you're not allowed to think it. So that goes against what we just said. Rav Yohanan, you're telling me in Hilchot Shabbat Hirhur, lav ki dibur demir. Now you're telling me by the law of going to the bathroom with the Divrei Torah, it sounds like Hirhur is kedibur dame. So the Gemara says, no. Shani hatam, deba'inan v'haya mahanecha kadosh veleka. A different item. There it says regarding Divrei Torah, you're only allowed to even think Divrei Torah in a place that is kadosh. It says v'haya mahanecha, because your encampment should be kadosh. Which means, really I'll tell you, Hirhur lav kedibur. That really, in all places, thinking is not like verbalizing. But when it comes to Divrei Torah, we have a special pasuk that says, even your thoughts of Divrei Torah must be only in a holy place. So therefore, this is a exception because we have a pasuk. Right? Rashi says, Vayamach Alecha goes, Ve'lo ketiv be'davar. It doesn't say in that pasuk, davar, which would imply that you're not allowed to verbal. Ela makom haniyatcha, your place where you're camping, tehe bikdusha. V'ta'ama, what's the reason? Mishum diyisem haririm tabim divrei Torah. Because since the pasuk always knows that Jewish people are always thinking of the divrei Torah, so the Torah says, hey, the place where you're going to be, meaning thinking the divrei Torah, has to be kadosh. But even though hirud is not like dibur, so the Gemara says, wait. What do you mean? Even by Divrei Torah, it says at the end of that pasuk, "Velo yirae becha ervat davar." What do you mean? The pasuk does say that you're not allowed to have ervat davar. Ervat is something that's, let's say, immodest, and it says the word davar. And what does davar imply? Davar implies dibur, meaning that what this pasuk that said "V'haya mahanecha kadosh." Velo yirei berchad ervat davar is talking about over here dibur, and it's saying what? That you're not allowed to have a dibur in a place that's dirty, and what? It was saying also you're not allowed to have a thought. Now what do you mean? Must be that a thought is like a dibur. So must be that Yohanan does hold that hirhur is like dibur, because it says in the pasuk of vayam b'chanech kadosh the word davar. So only dibur is asur. And Rabbi Yohanan said, you cannot be mad here. Because must be holds, Hirur is like a Dibur. Oh, we're back to the question. So why on Shabbat can you allude to it in Hirur if it's like Dibur? So the Gemara says, no. That ended the pasuk of Lo Yireh Becha Ervat Davar is not going on thinking the Vrei Torah in the bathroom. Really, when it comes to thinking Torah in the bathroom, it's assumed because Vayam Ha'alecha Kadosh. Only in a holy encampment, and really the Hirur alone is Asur, even if it's not considered Dibur. I was the end of the Pasuk that mentions Dabar, different item. It's going like the Yehuda. That teaches us what? Tamar Rabbi Yehuda. Akum Arum. If you have a Goy, who is a Gentile, that is naked. Asur Likro Kriyat Shema Kenigdo. It's forbidden to read the Kriyat Shema in front of him. Lo Yira'e Becha Irvat. You should not see the nakedness of somebody, dabar, and verbalize in front of him. Which is the first part of the pasuk, which is talking about thinking in the bathroom or the bet merchas. The second part is telling you that when there's ayirva, even if it's the ayirva of a goy, you're not allowed to read the Divrei Torah in front of it. So the Gemara says, "My iriya akum." Why did you choose in his example a goy? Afilu Yisrael nameh. Even a Jew is nakedness. You have to pick the case of a goy. So the Gemara says, we're using a style of lo mebaya, meaning like this. Lo mebaya Yisrael, I don't have to tell you that a Jew is asur. For sure, the nakedness of a Jew is forbidden to read the Kiryat Shema in front of it. Ela akum. The Hiddush is even a goy. Why? Kevan dichtiv, because it's written by them. Asher besar hamorim besaram, says their flesh is the flesh of hamorim, of donkeys. Em ashapir them. I would say they're like animals. And just like an animal does not have a nakedness, you can read the Kiryat Shema in front of a naked animal. So I would think that the goyim also is besar hamorim hamoram. Kamash ma'alan. And that's what's coming to tell me, no. That even though the pasuk says besar hamorim hamoram, besar hamorim besaram, therefore it's still going to be asur. That's the chiddush. It is ayirva. So the Gemara says, maybe it's true. Who told you that they're Irvaz and Irvah? Maybe it is considered the Basar of a Behema. So Amar Kera, Ve'irvat Avihem, Lo Ra'u. If you remember by Noah, when his children were covering up his nakedness, so the Pasuk writes, Ve'irvat Avihem, Lo Ra'u. It calls the nakedness of Noah Irvah. Now, Noah was not Jewish. Mm-hmm. Noah was considered a Ben Noah, right? That's the status. So therefore, you still see that even a non-Jew has the status of a Erbah. In fact, Masu says Erbah. So let's just conclude what we said over here. When it comes to Shabbat, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Halakazak Rabbi Yoshua Mekulha. That says what? Hirhur is Mutar. Therefore, just allude to it. Come to me tonight. And you're thinking, well, Yahim is a worker, and he knows that Yahim is a worker, mutar. When it comes to hidhur in the bathroom of the Venetuala, asur. It's coming to say that you cannot verbalize the Venetuala in front of the nakedness, even of a goy, even though it says besar, hamorim besarab, still it is considered a erba. Comes again and says, vidibur, mi asir? Are you telling me that on Shabbat you're not allowed to have dibur? I mean, you're telling me I cannot go hire workers verbally. Mm-hmm. So you tell me dibur is asur. Any, you know, personal matters I cannot verbalize on Shabbat. It's isur because it says, is that so? I'm going to show you now certain things that clearly are money related or, you know, business related, let's say, and still it says you're allowed to verbalize them. So the Gemara says, Rav Chisdan and Rav Miruna both said, Hashbonot shel mitzvah mutar lehashbeh mishabbat. Number one, Hashbonot, calculations of mitzvah, which means if the calculations have to do with a mitzvah, you can calculate them on Shabbat. Ve'amar v'ilhazar poskim sedaka la'anim shabbat. Furthermore, you're allowed to collect tzedakah on Shabbat and decide exactly which poor people are going to get what. Ve'amar v'yakov ar'idi, amar v'yohanan, mefakhin pikuach nefesh. Furthermore, you're allowed to investigate on Shabbat things that have to do with pikuach nefesh, with, you know, life and death situations in the community. You can, you know, investigate and analyze them. And pikuach rabim b'Shabbat, public needs on Shabbat also that are important. You'll have to also talk about them and analyze them on Shabbat. Furthermore, you can go to the synagogues to have meetings to discuss the skerabim, the needs of the sibur on Shabbat. It is permissible to go on Shabbat to the theaters, to the kirkasaot, is like the areas where they used to have the circuses. Those are areas where many people are able to gather. Ul besilka laot, that's the basilicas, which also was areas where people would gather in large numbers, lefakeh al eskerabim b'Shabbat, in order again to attend a meeting that's discussing the needs of the sibur antia, which is the government. A lot of times would make meetings in these places. So the Jews, the Gemara is saying, were allowed to attend, to be part of the meeting, in order to know exactly, to help out the community. So therefore you see all these cases, you're speaking things that obviously are not Shabbat related, and still they're allowing you to speak. And the Gemara continues, and we also have a statement in the name of Menasheh. Furthermore, you're allowed to make Shidduchim for the children on Shabbat, meaning if your one wants to set up his child, you're allowed to go to a potential family and say, I have a son and you have a daughter, so you're able to make a Shidduch for the children on Shabbat. Furthermore, you're allowed to hire a teacher in order to teach your son Sefer. You want to hire a tutor on Shabbat for your son to teach him how to read. So it's also permissible on Shabbat to make the deal. Furthermore, you can hire a worker or a person that's going to teach your child a trade. You can even make that deal on Shabbat. Now, of course, it is a mitzvah to teach your child a trade, like it says in Masechet Kiddushin. So now, bottom line, the question is, all these things are not per se Shabbat related, and still what? We're allowing you to speak them. We allow you to verbalize them. So what's the difference? Why do we say over here in the Mishnah that dibur is asur? So Gemara answers, Amar kera, memeso hefsecha vedaber dabar. Hefsecha asurim, hefse shamayim mutarim. Well, the answer is the difference. When the pasuk says you can't verbalize things, it means your needs. Hefsecha. But hefse shamayim, things that have to do with shamayim, you can. Getting your children married, teaching them the Devre Torah, hiring them a teacher to teach them a trade. Even the pikuach nefesh, which is obviously, even the pikuach darabim, public works in order to help the sibur. All these items, or collecting sedakah for the aniyim and deciding who gets what. All that is a mitzvah. That's not considered your personal hafatzim, and therefore hafatz shamayim is mutar. Comes to Gemara and says, Amar Yehuda Mashmuel, Heshbonot shel malach, ושל מה בכך מותר לחשבן בשבת. Now we're discussing חשבונות, calculations. של מלאך. What is the calculation of מלאך? So that she says, מלאך is a short way of saying, מלאך ולחשבונות הללו. Meaning, חשבונות, mathematical calculations that are not necessary. מלאך. What do you need to make such calculations? הרי אין צורך בהן. לא לך ולא לאחר. Not for you, and not for somebody else. Example, a guy's walking in the street and says, you know, if a guy wants to build a house, how much would it cost him in materials? Well, it would cost him $1,000 for this, $2,000 for that. That's considered malach. Just talk. That's got nothing to benefit for you, and not to benefit somebody else. So it says, Heshbonot shel malach, veshel mabekach. That's also the same concept, meaning mabekach, really no purpose. So it says mutar lahanim shabbat. So such types of calculations you can't talk on Shabbat because they're really not affecting you. It's just it might be idle chatter, but it's not considered asur. Tanya Nameache, we have a writer to support this. Hashbonot she'avru v'she'atidim liyot asurim lehashben calculations that passed. Meaning you're rehashing how much you spent on something. Those are calculations that passed. Or how much you're planning on spending. That's asur on Shabbat to discuss. However, shel malach v'shel mabekach mutar lehashben. Which means, the malach, as we explained, we just say how much would it cost to build a house. We're really not talking about yourself. Or mabekach, Rashi says, which means already it was past items where it was necessary at the time, ela she'avru, but it passed. Kegon kak bekach hotseti bibinyan ze. Which means when a guy comes along and says, this is what I spent when I bought this building, or this is what I spent when I built my house. So the Braita is saying over here, things of the, obviously we have a contradiction in this Braita, which the Gemara will analyze in a second. But the Braita said, things of past, things of future, asur. Things of malach u'mabekach, mutar. So the Gemara says, malach, mabekach, mutar. That's a proof of what we just said. So the Gemara says, urminu, what do you mean? I'll bring you a question. Hoshbin hashbonot she'enan sidichin. You're allowed to say on Shabbat, you're allowed to discuss hashbonot, figures, calculations that are not necessary. But you cannot calculate calculations that are necessary on Shabbat. Ketzad, how? Omer Adam Lachavero, kach vekach po'alim hotzeti al sadezu. You're allowed to say, this is how much I spent on workers to work in this field. Kach vekach dinarin hotzeti al dirazu. This is how much money I spent on this house, this apartment. Aval lo yomar lo, כך וכך הוצאתי, וכך וכך אני עתיד להוסיף. But you cannot talk future. You cannot say, this is what I spent, and this is what I am planning on spending. So what do you see over here? You see from this braita that past is permissible. You just can't talk about the future. We just said a braita before that past items and future items are asur. So it's a head-on stira in the braita. The Gemara says, hold it. V'letameh, Kashyalach higufa. Before you ask me a question from another braita, ask yourself a question in the braita itself. Why? Because the braita said past items and future items are asur. And then you tell me in the same braita that Heshbonot of Mabekach are mutar. And how do you explain Mabekach items? Past things. So make up your mind, in the same braita contradicts itself. Are past items mutar or are past items asur? So the Gemara says, Ela, had ika agra de agra gabe, had ereka agra de agra gabe. Past items, it depends if you still owe the contractor money. So if you still owe him money, so it's past items, but it's still opened. If you still owe him money, you have to pay him. It's not finished yet. Therefore, you can't talk about those items on Shabbat. However, if you paid them up in full, so you finished with it. It's closed. So therefore, you can't talk. So let's review the Braita. The Braita that said that you'll have to speak things of Mabekach, past items, that's talking where you paid the guy already. And when it said that you can't speak past items, it's talking about when you still have an open bill, and therefore still considered, current, and therefore one would not be allowed to speak these items. Right. Agra is the money. The agida that he owes, gabe, right, that he has, he owes by him. Okay. In Mahshikim, we said in the Mishnah that we're not allowed to walk to the border on Shabbat in order to go, let's say, collect the fruit, or to go and hire workers. Tanu Rabbanan, Ma'aseh b'chasid ehad. There was a story of a certain chasid, shenifritza lo peretz betuch sadehu. On Shabbat, it seems there was a fence he had around his field, but a hole was breached in his fence. Now his fruit were subject to danger. V'nimlach aleha legodeda. So in his mind, he thought that, you know, after Shabbat, he's going to go and repair the fence. V'nizkar sheShabbatu. Then he remembered that it's Shabbat. V'nimna oto hasid ve'lo gadra. So he punished himself, so to speak, and he said, since I had thoughts on Shabbat, in order to fix the fence, so now I'm never fixing the fence. Then it was Mahmid, it was a hasid. Which is really, we didn't see anywhere on Shabbat, you can't have a thought to fix the fence. We said dibur is asur. But dirur we said is mutar. Here he just had a thought to fix the fence. But then he said, what? On Shabbat I'm having a thought to do something that's asur? Finish, I'm not fixing it. God made a miracle for him. The altabo slaf. A caper bush grew exactly in that spot and filled up the fence, the hole. Not only that, but he was able to have panasa, because we learned in Masechet Berachot that the caper bush has three fruits on it. And therefore, the Rashi tells us what they are. It has the ebionot, the kafrisin, and lulavid. So it was a very beneficial bush for him. The Arizal says that this fellow, this Hasid, was indeed the fellow that in the Midbar was the Mekoshesh Aitzim. We learned in the Midbar there was a Jew that made the Isur on Shabbat and they stoned him. Who was that? That was Selofhad. So he says, here's the Gilgul of Selofhad, and he came back, and what happened? Here you see he was extra Mahmir on Shabbat, but he didn't even have a Hirud. Already he punished himself, and that's why God rewarded him with what? With a slav tree. How do you say one slav tree? Slafhad. Slafhad, so that alludes to us that it was indeed Selofhad. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shemuel, Mutar le'adam lomar le'havero le'krach ploni ani holech le'mahar. A person is allowed to tell his friend on Shabbat that I'm going to a certain city tomorrow. Now, even though, let's say that city is outside of the tomb, it's outside the border, and therefore technically he cannot walk there on Shabbat, so he's really saying something that is Isur. So the Gemara is going to say no, because there is a permissible way to get to that city. How? Halakha says regarding the law of Tum. Now when does your Tum start? When do you always have 2,000 Amot out of the city, and that's it, and you can't walk anymore. When does that start? Once you get to the last house, let's say, of the city. But so long as there's homes within, let's say, 70 amot of each other, 70 amot would be like 150 feet. You have a house, then you walk for 100 feet, there's no house. Oh, there's a lot. That counts already. Now, you walk another 100 feet, there's another house. So you don't start your tum until after you get to the last house. So let's say if a guy tells his friend, I'm going to walk tomorrow to the next city. Now, if hypothetically there were little huts along the whole route, he wouldn't be allowed to even walk it on Shabbat. So since there's a permissible way to do that walking on Shabbat, even though it's not applicable, you could say it. So that's a big chiddush we're saying now. That not only if it is indeed permissible, but if it's potentially permissible to do on Shabbat, you can speak it. And in this case, how? Because if there were huts, let's say within 70 amot of each other throughout the way, so then technically he can get to that place. The Gemara says, "She'im yesh burganin, burganin are those little huts." On the way, holech, he'll be able to walk. Tanan, we have a Mishnah. En machshichim ala tchum niskor po'alim ulhavi perot. Right, we learned on in the Mishnah. You don't have to go to the border on Shabbat to hire workers or to bring fruit. So Gemara says, bishlam ala niskor po'alim. I understand why you cannot go to the border to hire workers. Te b'shabbat lo matzi agar. Because there's no way you can hire workers on Shabbat. There's no permissible way. So since there's no way to hire workers on Shabbat, you don't have to walk to the border on Shabbat to be prepared. Ela lavi perot, but to bring fruit, lema she'im yesham mechitzot mevi. What's the reason why you cannot bring fruit? Because it's carrying. Because you don't have an eruv. But let's say you had walls, and you had an eruv, so technically it would be permissible to actually carry these fruit on Shabbat. The whole issue is a mere carrying. So therefore the Gemara is asking, you just gave me a rule that if there's a way to do it beheter, you can't carry fruit on Shabbat if you have an eruv. So hypothetically, I'll say, since if I had, just like you just told me about the burganim, if I had huts, I'd be able to walk. So if I had an eruv, I'd be able to carry. So the Gemara says, "Mashkachat la beperot amechobarim." We're talking about over here where the fruits were attached to the ground. There's no way on Shabbat, even with an eruv, that you're allowed to detach fruit from the ground. So it was definitely isur. Gemara says, "Ha'at tani rabo shaya." You're not allowed to go to the border in order to bring tevin, which would be, let's say, straw and kash. Maybe they call it stubble. So the Gemara says, "Bishlama kash mashkahat la b'mechubar." Kash, we know, is attached to the ground. So therefore, there's no way to be able to go on Shabbat because there's no way to detach kash on Shabbat. Ela tevin. Tevin is already, after you take it out of the ground, it's called tevin. So therefore it's lying on the ground. So the Gemara wants to say, hechi mashkahatla. What's the problem? Which means, since it's detached, why should it be forbidden for me to go to the border and get it? Why don't you just say, I have an eruv, and if you have an eruv, it would be permissible to carry it, so therefore you should be able to go to the tchum. So the Gemara says, betivna sarya. We're talking about tevin that became spoiled and decrepit, and therefore, what's the problem with it? It's mukseh. So therefore, just like there's no way you can carry mukseh on Shabbat, this tevin we're talking about is mukseh. Tashema, machshichin al tchum lefakeh al askeh kala. You're allowed to go to the border, so you can be there right when Shabbat ends in order to take care of the needs of a bride, for example, that's getting married. You want to prepare make the preparations. Al askeh hamit, or for that matter, on the needs of a met of somebody that died. So the Gemara says, "Aliske kala umet." So the Gemara says, an implication: you can only go on Shabbat to take care of the needs of a kala or a met in aliske aher lo, which means, but it's implying that on another need that's not for a hatan and kala or for a met, you would not be allowed to go. Bishlama aher dumya de kala, which means I understand another need that's similar to a kala that's going to be asur, because she only told me I can go to serve the kala. Implying something else is going to be asur. What's going to be asur? Mashkahat la limizga le asa. Which means you would not be allowed to go to cut hadasim. Let's analyze. In the olden days, they used to make the chupa out of hadasim. They used to, fashion it out of hadasim. So therefore, it would be forbidden on Shabbat to go to the border in order to cut hadas, to make the chuppah. Why? Because since cutting hadas on Shabbat is unequivocally asur, there's no way to do that be'etir, so therefore you cannot go to the border. But let's say other needs of the kala, which would be, let's say, permissible to do on Shabbat. You could actually walk to the border on Shabbat to prepare. Now, elamet mainihu. So the Gemara wants to know, to take care of the needs of the met, you're telling me it's permissible. But only the needs of the met, but certain things you're telling me are asur regarding the met. What are those items? Lavilo aron v'techrichim. Obviously it must be that you cannot go to the border to bring him what? I'm sorry, elamet mainihu. But when it comes to a met, what are we saying that you could do? Lehavi lo aron v'techrichim. You could bring him the coffin, and you can bring him the shrouds. Now, what's the logic in that? Since we said, if you had an Eruv, you'd be able to carry these items, so therefore you'd be able to go on Shabbat, and walk to the border, in order that right after Shabbat, you could carry for him the Aron and the Techrichim, since it's possible for you to do this on Shabbat in the place where there was a Eruv, correct? But the Gemara is saying, only for a Met, implying, if it wasn't for a Met, you would not have this heter. So the Gemara says, "Veketani met in, aval acher lo ve'amai." Why not? This heter should work for anybody. Lema she'im yesh ha-mechitzot nevi. Why don't you say if there's mechitzot, you'd be able to bring for anybody? Why don't you only say for a met? For anybody. So the Gemara says, "Met damim mashkachat la lemizga legelima." It's referring to over here, where you're allowed to go, let's say, do the Sorech HaMet. What does Sorech HaMet mean? You're right, bring the Aron, bring the Techrichim, the shrouds, and for that matter, you're allowed to carry for anybody, because you say you might have Mechitzot. So what is it saying, an item for a Met that you can't do? In order to cut the shrouds, let's say you have the material, but it wasn't cut yet into shrouds. So it would be Asur on Shabbat, to go to the border, with intention that right after Shabbat, in order to, you know, to fashion the garment for the met. Why? Because obviously there's no way on Shabbat it's mutar, even with an eruv, to cut the garments of the met. So bottom line, we said in this Gemara at this point, that you can only go to the border on things that potentially could have done on Shabbat. For example, since one would be able to walk far distances, had there been burganim, so you can walk to the border on Shabbat, so you can be right at the end of the city. Because technically it would be a permissible way to do it on Shabbat. You'll have to go take care of the needs of a kala, you'll have to take care of the needs of a met, or for that matter, any person, even though there's no eruv on the items that you carry. Since if there was an eruv, be able to carry these items on Shabbat, it'd be permissible. However, regarding something else, mukseh, like the tibna saria, so you cannot walk to the border to deal with that, because there's no way for you to touch that, move that on Shabbat. Or cutting hadas would be asur to walk to the border, or for that matter, cutting the fabric in order to make the shrouds is clearly forbidden on Shabbat, that we cannot walk to the border. Comes the Gemara and says, now, aval machshichin, right, it is permissible to walk to the border for a for something that's permissible on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, v'afalgav de lo avdil. Oh, now we have a hadush, even though he didn't make havdalah, which means, now you're telling me he walks to the border, and right after Shabbat's over, he's going to go and carry fruit that, let's say, already was picked, you know, wasn't attached to the ground. But hold it, we have another issue over here. The guy didn't make Havdalah. Are you allowed to do Melacha on Motzei Shabbat before you make Havdalah? See, I understand he walked to the border on Shabbat. Now, what Motzei Shabbat comes? It's Hoshech, Machshichin, Hoshech. Now he walks across the border, and he's going to go start carrying fruit. What are you talking? How can he do melacha? He did not make havdalah. V'amar Rabbi Elazar ben Antigonus, mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, asur lo la'adam she'asih hafasav, kodem she'yavdil. A person is not allowed to do his needs before he makes havdalah. V'chi yitem adavdil b'tfilah. Well, if you're going to tell me, no, he prayed arbit, and he said, atachon antanu. In the Amidah, so atachon antanu is like a havdalah. Not enough. What are you talking? It's not enough. You have to also make Havdalah on the kos. And if you want to tell me, yeah, he made Havdalah on the kos. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? There's a cup of wine sitting in the middle of the field. I mean, where's this guy? The guy walked to the border of the city. Well, he's got a kos of Havdalah in that spot. So the Gemara says, yeah. We're talking about in the pressing season of the wine, let's say, where there's barrels of wine all over the place. Right, it's in the wine season. So therefore, yeah, where he went, there happened to be a barrel of wine, so therefore he was able to make Abdallah. So according to this opinion, he goes to the border on Shabbat, he has to either pray out of it or make Havdalah. Of course, then he's able to go do the melacha. Amar Rav Abba Rav Ashi, b'ma'araba in Israel, amrina nachi. They said the following: Hamavdil ben Kodesh lechol. They would just say right after Shabbat, Baruch Hamavdil ben Kodesh lechol. Right, the God that separates between Kodesh lechol ve'avdinan surchin. And then already they would do melacha. They held you didn't have to say Havdalah per se to go and do melacha. All you just needed to say is Baruch Hamavdil ben Kodesh lechol. And already you can go do melacha. Amar Avashe, ki avina be Rav Kana, hava amar hamavdil b'kodesh lechol. When we were in the house of Rav Kana, he said, hamavdil b'kodesh lechol, umesaltinan silte. And then he went and cut and chopped wood. So you see what? It's enough just to say hamavdil b'kodesh lechol, even though you did not make an official havdalah ala kos. Comes again and continues. Klal amar Abba Shaul. Okay, let's review what it said at the end of our Mishnah. Abba Shaul said at the end of the Mishnah, anything that you're allowed to say on Shabbat, he made a rule. Now, when he makes anything that I'm allowed to say on Shabbat, I'm allowed to go to the border on Shabbat for that item. Now, obviously, he was making a rule of something that was said in the Mishnah. So we want to know what Abba Shaul was reacting to. Which statement of the Mishnah did Abba Shaul come along now and codify it and say, Klal, I'm going to give you the rule. So the Gemara asks, Abba Shaul, Ahiyah, meaning, on what? On where? Where was he saying his statement? Ilima areshaka'e, if it's going back on what Tanakama said in the Resha. What did the Resha say? The Resha said, where Tanakama said, you're not allowed to hire workers on Shabbat. Right? He gave the case of Isur. And then what did Tanakama say? Tanakama said, you're not allowed to go to the border in order to hire workers. Ulavi perot. Right? That's the first part of the Mishnah. You're not allowed to go to the border to do something that's Asur on Shabbat. Okay? Now what is Abba Shaul coming along to say? Oh, you tell me it's Asur, I'm going to give you the rule. And what's Abba Shaul's rule? Anything that you're allowed to speak on Shabbat, you're allowed to be mashik. So the Gemara doesn't like that, because if you want to make a rule out of something that was said, Isur was said. So you don't make a rule of heter, which means follow the pattern. If he's going on Tanakama, that said in Isur, so Abba Shaul's saying, oh, that rule that you just said, I'm going to make a rule. That statement you just said, I'm going to make a rule out of it. Anything that you're allowed to say, you're allowed to be mashik. What do you mean? You're reacting on something that Tanakama said is asur, and you're making a rule, giving me the positive side? You should give me the rule on the negative side. Look at the Rashi on the bottom. Ine ma'aresha. Diktani Tanakama li isura. The Tanakama is saying it's asur to go to the border in order to get, let's say, fruit. The ka'ati abashul is shavye baklala. And Abba Shaul is coming to make a rule out of it. Im ken dechlalad leisura havile lelevar. He should have made the klal on the isur side. Behedya kol sheeno zakai ba'amira kegon elu sheeno rashay lomar lachavero schol li poalim o aveli perot lemot zeh shemat eno rashay lachshik. He should have said any that's forbidden to say on it. For example, just like you cannot tell your friend to go cut for you fruit, or you cannot tell your friend to hire you workers. So any item that you are not allowed to say, you're not allowed to go to the border. That's how you codify the rule of, or the statement of Tanakama. So therefore it cannot be going on the Resha. Because if it was on the Resha, his rule would have been in the negative. Good? So the Gemara says, Idima Resha kae, in machshikin ala tchum, neskor po'alim nabi perot, hai kol she'eno zakai ba'amirato, rashai ani b'hashikato. Which means, I'll read this slowly inside. Which means, if Abba Shaul was going on the Resha, he should have said like this. Well, first the Gemara is going to tell you what he said and what he should have said. So again, ilim ha'arishaka, if he's going on the resha, en ma'ashikhin ala tchum l'skor po'alim navi peor. That's the statement of the resha, that you're not allowed, that's not a kabbalah statement, you're not allowed to go to the tchum. Aren't you about to bring perot? Hay kol she'ani zakai ba'amirato, rashai ani ba'ashikhato. Which means, why did Abbas Shulman say it in the positive? Whatever I'm allowed to say, I'm allowed to go to the border. He should have said, kol she'eno zakai ba'amirato, whatever I cannot say. Like you just said to Rakhba, I cannot hire workers. I cannot tell a guy to go pick fruit. Eno zakai ba'ashikhato. So the Gemara says, ela asifakai. So it must be Abbas Shul's going on the Sefa, which is when Tanakama said, but you're allowed to go to the border in order to watch your fruit. Because since watching your fruit is permissible on Shabbat, so you can go to the border, so you're ready right after Shabbat to go to the to watch the fruit. So the Gemara says, Aval machshichu lishmor umivi perot. Like Tanakama said, you can go and to the border to watch your fruit, and even after Shabbat you're allowed to even bring fruit. So the Gemara says, Biyadu. Hi, kol she'ani zakai b'hashichato, rashai ani b'amirato mev'ayle. Which means like this. What was Abba Shaul's statement? Whatever I could say on Shabbat, I can mashich. Did Tanakama talk over here about anything about saying anything? Tanakama was only talking about being mashich. He said, I can be mashich in order to watch perot. So Abba Shaul comes along and says, oh, I'm going to make a rule. Whatever you're allowed to speak, well, who's talking about speaking? Did we mention speaking, that you're making a rule now on speaking? We're talking about over here going to watch perot. We're talking about lachshich. So if he was making a rule out of the sefa of the Mishnah, he should have said like this, Tanakama, you just taught me that in certain cases you're allowed to be machshich. For example, to go watch perot, I'm going to make a rule over here. You're allowed to be machshich for anything that you're allowed to speak. But the chidush is that you're reacting to something Tanakama said. You're telling me what? Tanakama, you told me I can be machshich. On what? On items that are permissible on Shabbat. So now Abbas Shul should be coming and telling me a step further. I'll give you a rule. You know where you can be machshich? Like this Gemara says over here. Let's read it inside. The Gemara says, I'm going to read it on the third line. Ela asefake, exactly. Aval machshichu lishmor mevi perot. Tanakama said he's allowed to be machshich in order to bring perot, in order to watch perot. Lishmor mevi perot miyado. Then he can bring the perot. Why? Because he's doing it lishmor. Gemara says, "Hi kol she'ani zakai b'hashichato." He should have said, "Oh, anything that you're permissible to be machshich on, like you just said, rashai ani b'amirato, you're also allowed to speak it on Shabbat." That's what he should have said. Meaning, once you told me items that you can be machshich on, Tanakama, I'm giving you a rule. Whatever you can be machshich on, you can even speak. But he told me the opposite. He said, oh, whatever you can speak, you can be machshich. Who's talking about speaking? So comes the Gemara and says, le'olam asefa kaye. Really, it's going on the sefa. He's going on the following statement. Damar of Yehuda Mar Shmuel, mutar le'adam lomar l'chavero. A person is allowed to tell his friend on Shabbat, shmor li perot shebetechumcha. You watch my fruit that's in your boundaries. Vani eshmor lecha perot shebetechumi, and I'll watch your fruit that is in my boundaries. Again, a person is allowed to make that verbal discussion on Shabbat, and Tanakama of our Mishnah agrees to that. That you're allowed to tell each other, you watch my fruit and I'll watch your fruit. That is permissible. The Kamara Bashul the Tanakama. So now Abashul says, Mi lo modit demutar adam nomar lahavero, shmor li perot shebetechumcha, vani shmor lecha perot shebetechumi. So therefore, he comes along and says, what do you mean? Obviously you agree that you're allowed to say this item. You watch the fruit in mine, and I'll watch the fruit in yours. So therefore, ve'ema, and therefore you could say, kol she'ani zakai ba'amirato, rashai ani lachshich alav. Which means, really, Tanakama also held of another case. Tanakama mentioned speaking. What did he mention speaking? I can tell my friend, you watch my fruit and I'll watch your fruit. So Abba Shul said, oh, very good. Now I can make a rule. What's the rule I'm going to make? Whatever you're allowed to speak, you're allowed to be machshich. So that he was reacting to an inyan of speaking. Because Tanakama is also talking about that case as well. And Tanakama said like this. He said two things Tanakama comes at. First he said, I can go to the border in order to watch Perot. And then he said, whatever, I can also tell my friend, you watch my fruit in your borders and I'll watch in yours. Also then Rabbi Shul said, oh, if you could speak it, so I'm adding, you could speak it, you could also be Mashiach. So that's what Abba Shaul was able to throw in the concept of speaking. So Kazi Gevaran says, Kla la tu yemai. So now the question is, what do you have to make a rule out of it? Isn't it obvious? Which is obviously when Abba Shaul made a rule, he's coming to add something. What are you coming to add by making a rule? So the Gevaran says, La tu yehadi tenu rabbanan, to come include that which we learned in the Braita. En mashichin ala tchum navi behema. The first din in the Braita says, we're not allowed to go to the border on Shabbat in order to bring an animal. We're talking about an animal that's a small animal that doesn't want to move. Now, the only way to move it is you're going to have to lift it up. An animal is mukseh on Shabbat. So since you cannot move an animal on Shabbat, because it's mukseh, so you cannot go to the border to get the animal. However, if it's, let's say, standing right by the border, you're allowed to go to the border on Shabbat and say, you know, hey, come here. And the animal will walk on its own, because you're doing really no isur. Now, Klal Amar Abba Shaul. Now Abba Shaul gave a rule. Kol Shari Zakai B'Amirato. Anything that I could say on Shabbat, Rashai Ani Le'achshik Alav. I could also go to the border on Shabbat. U'machshichi Nefakeach Al Eske Kala. And for that matter, I go to the border to take care of the needs of a bride. Val Eske Hamet, and the needs of a met. La'avilo Aron V'techrichin. Right, in order to bring him, let's say, a coffin and a shroud. Ve'omrim lo lech le'makom ploni, and you can even tell a guy, go to that place. You know, when you get to that city, go to that place. Ve'im lo matzat mekom ploni. If you don't find the shrouds and the stuff in that place, have mekom ploni. Go to a different place. You guys, you give him directions what cities to go to. Lo matzat b'maneh, have b'batay. You can even talk money with him. You can tell him, if you don't find it for 100 coins, buy it for 200. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, ubelvad shelo yaskilo skum mekach. Rabbi Yosef says, no, no, no. The guy can go for the hatan kala, but you're not to mention money. You can't say 100 or 200. Now, what are we seeing from over here? We're seeing that the chidush of Abba Shaul is that it's permissible to go to the border to take care of the needs of a hatan and a kala. That's what the klal was coming to include. So comes the Rashi and says, in the last Rashi right before the Mishnah, klal amar Abba Shaul, v'hai nami zakai b'amirato. Which means, obviously, you're allowed to speak about these items. How do we know we're allowed to speak about these items? Because you're allowed to say, go to that city, go get the shrouds, go get the aron, go get the needs of the kala. So Abba Shaul was saying, since you could speak these items on Shabbat, you'd be allowed to go to the border on Shabbat. Now look at Rashi Dibur Matil Asifakai. Let's do this Rashi inside together. Asifakai. Really, I'll tell you, Abba Shaul's statement is going on the end of the Mishnah, where Tanakama said that it's permissible to go to the border on Shabbat to watch your fruit, right? Kedekamat udekash shalach amira mehecha kamar lehetera. We ask the question: who's talking about amira? That Abba Shaul comes along and says, whenever you have to speak, you will have to be mashich. No one's talking about amira. The talibeh hashicha ahakae. The Amar of Yehuda alma zakei ani baamira tov. Abba Shaul v'tanakama kuleu pshita lehu hadishmuel. Everybody agreed with Shmuel's statement that if that that said Shmuel's statement was. That you're allowed to tell your friend, I'll watch the fruit in your in my area, and you watch my fruit in your area. Right? Everybody agreed to that. Bekamal Abba Shaul Netanakama, Milo Modit Be'ashatam Mati Lashich. Would you agree to me that since you're allowed to speak, watch your fruit and I'll watch my fruit, so therefore it should be permissible to be Mashich for that purpose as well. Since I can watch your fruit, I can watch fruit on Shabbat in a heter way, I should be permissible to walk to the border in order to watch fruit as well. Wouldn't you agree to me? If I could speak it, I should be able to walk to the border on Shabbat so I can be ready to watch fruit on Shabbat. The mutaru lomar, could this word, alma, huilu mutar lomar, mutar lashich, hilkak amay nakat hachshakal lishmol lehuda. He was saying like this, why did you give a specific case? You should have made a rule, Tanakama. Which is, you agree, if you can speak it, you can walk there. So why did you say you can walk to the border to watch fruit? You should have said a more general rule.
You should have said anything you could speak on. Could you speak about watching food on Shabbat? Yes. I'll watch the food in my area, and you watch the food in your area. Mutar. So if you could speak it, you could be ma'asik. So come out. Why didn't you just give a specific case? You should have made a rule out of it. So that's what Rabbi Shaul was saying. So he comes along and says, "Ve'ema kol sheni zakai ba'aminato la'asheri la'ashik alav teshma mina hak teshma mina met ve'kala." And by saying the rule, what do you come to add? You come to include the case of the met and the case of the kala. The hanami zakai ba'aminato. And just like we know, you could talk about those cases on Shabbat as well. So therefore, the Hiddush of Abba Shaul is not only for Shemirat Perot, but he also even for Hatan and Kalah. So there's an argument between Tanakama and Abba Shaul. Tanakama says only Lishmor Perot, you can go to the Tchum. Or Abba Shaul says even for Eske Hatan and Kalah. And therefore this bright that we just read, Taru Rabbanan, where it said, Abba Shaul says, "Kosh is a kavanah Torah shani la'ashik alav u'machshichin lefakeh al eskei kala." That's all according to Abba Shaul. So let's just review the conclusion of the Mishnah. The Mishnah came along in the name of Tanakama and said what? That you're not allowed to go to the tomb on Shabbat if you're planning on doing something that would be asur on Shabbat. For example, cutting fruit, which is asur, or hiring workers. However, if something is permissible to do on Shabbat, for example, to watch Perot, so you can even walk to the border. So now, Rabbi Yehuda made a statement that everybody agrees to. If you can speak it, for example, you're allowed to tell your friend on Shabbat, "You watch my food, I'll watch your food." So you see what? Watching food is something that you can speak, right? And everybody agrees to that. So Abba Shaul comes along to Tanakama and said, "Tanakama, why did you just say your halakha in a very limited way? That you can go to the border to watch food. You should have said better. You should have made a code out of it and say, if you can say it, you can machshik on it." So that's what he calls him, Zakai Ba'amira, Zakai Lachshich. What was Abba Shaul coming to include? Not because of Shemirat Perot, but just like you could talk about the needs of a mit and the need of a kala, so too I could be Machshich for those purposes as well. Whereas Tanakama say, no, you can only be Machshich for Shemirat Perot, but for Eske Kala and Hatan and mit, you would not be allowed. Amen, amen.